This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts. And I'll look at chapter 4, the last portion of chapter 4. As the disciples had been, remember last Wednesday night, we saw that they had been taken before the Sanhedrin and the priests, high priests. They had been threatened for preaching the gospel and warned not to preach it. But the thing that amazed the men as Peter proclaimed God's truth to these men unashamedly and with great boldness, they marveled that they were unlearned men, yet they spoke with such authority, and they remembered they'd been with Jesus. And as you look at this, what we're going to see this evening, it's interesting, things never change. The battle is still here. It's a great spiritual battle between the Lord and the Lord's people, and seeking to have God's will done in the proclamation of the gospel, and the seeking to call people to worship Him, and those that would seek to undermine and destroy the impact of the gospel. And the only way they can do it is to either threaten, imprison, or martyr God's people. Because as long as God's people proclaim the truth, God's word will go forth and accomplish the purpose He has set forth to accomplish. Let's begin this evening in looking at chapter 4 at verse 23. The disciples are going to be going back and making a report to the rest of the Christians that were waiting to hear what had happened to them. Because Peter and John and the man that they had healed had been taken captive overnight or imprisoned overnight by the high priest and his guard. And now they're set free, and the people are waiting. So let's see what they've got to report. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Who by thy mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Hoses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us this evening through your word. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you are there and the power that you have given to your people to stand and proclaim with great boldness the truth of your word. Lord, I pray now that you just go with us and help us to have the spirit and the desire that the apostles and your early disciples had to seek to serve you and to do your will and proclaim your truth. Lord, speak to us this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting when they come back and they report all the threatenings that have been done. The portion of Scripture that they quote is Psalm 2. And we've read Psalm 2 in a number of different Sundays. If you just want to turn quickly to Psalm 2, let's just read the whole psalm again. Because this is what the apostles and disciples, as they're meeting together and they hear what has happened and they're praying to the Lord, they quote to Him His word that was recorded by David. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That's exactly what they were doing when the disciples, when the apostles and Peter began to preach boldly in the streets. The heathen were raging and they imagined a vain thing, that is to silence these men of God. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying. And that's exactly what they did. They took counsel against God because He had anointed His apostles to preach about Jesus, who was the anointed. And the world does not want to hear about Christ. The world's spirit is in opposition to the Lord Jesus. And the apostles recognize this. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Now, I want you to see what David said there. They're not going to allow themselves to be, he wasn't going to allow himself to be bound by this wickedness and these evil doings that these men had. But rather, he says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Don't allow them to be able to cause us not to proclaim God's word, because he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them with his sore displeasure. His judgment is going to be coming against them. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And there he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And so David acknowledged that Jesus one day is going to be ruling over those that are raging against him and coming against him, but one day they shall be in submission to him as he shall rule over this world. Ask of me and I shall give, verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And that's the message that men need to hear today, and those that are conspiring against God today need to hear that, that they need to repent and turn to the Lord. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And so David acknowledged all of this, and it was, and God had given David, who was speaking prophetically as well as for his own time, of the wickedness and evil that was in the world, and how that this wickedness and evil spirit that was in the kings and the leaders of the earth was being raging against God, but God was in control and God would judge. And so going back to the book of Acts, we see that the apostles quote the first two verses of this psalm as they're praying. And then they go on to pray, and they say the thing that one of the things that they stated before they quoted this psalm is, it's a very interesting thing in verse 24. One of the things that I think that one of the reasons the church is so weak today is they do not acknowledge the fact that God is creator. God is the one who established all things. God is the ruler and God is the judge. And if we do not acknowledge God as creator and the creation is given to us in Scripture and the account that's given there, you're denying God his rightful place and power and authority. So how can we stand boldly before a world that's in rebellion against him? Because we're really joining in part of that rebellion. We see the apostles in verse 24, it says, "And they that heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord." And their voice was a voice of prayer and praise, and said, "Lord, thou art God." The first thing they acknowledge, there's no other gods. It's just the Lord. He's the only God. "Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." And they acknowledge that God is creator. And people say, well, how do we know? We know because God's Word gives us, and you can see just about in a multitude of books throughout the Bible, you see that it makes reference to God as creator. And if you don't acknowledge God as creator, you'll never acknowledge him as Lord of your life, because you will not have the proper view of your accountability to the Lord who has given you life and who has the ability to redeem you through his means of salvation through Jesus, his Son. So we see here that in verse 25 he says, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said," and then they quote these two verses, "Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." And we see that that's exactly what happened when Peter preached and John was with him and they healed the man. They raged and they gathered together to try and come up with a means. And you remember when they brought them before them and they had no answer when Peter spoke to them with great boldness and authority by the power of God's Spirit, they had no answer. And they told Peter and John to remember, step in the other room. And then they said, what are we going to do with these men? Because what gives them this power that they're speaking with? And they had no, and then they determined that they were just going to be threatening them, and they threatened them more and tell them to go and never speak of it again. But Peter and John had no desire to listen and heed to their threats. And so it says, "For a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." And so as they're praying, they're acknowledging that really the whole world stood against Christ and was part of his crucifixion. You had the Romans represented by Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and you had the Jewish people represented by the Jewish leaders and those that they had incited to say, "Crucify Jesus." And they were there. The Romans actually did the act. And the Israelites were there urging them on. And so all men stood guilty of this act. And now they were trying to defend what they had done instead of acknowledging what they had done and asking for forgiveness and coming to the Lord to seek forgiveness through Christ. Thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And God had determined that this was the means of salvation. And when had it been determined? Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians it was determined before he even created the earth. Before he created anything, he determined that the second person of the Trinity would go to the cross to take the sins of the world upon himself, because as he knew that when he gave man the right to choose, man would choose wrong and sin, but he made a means by which we could be redeemed or bought back and brought back into fellowship and relationship with him and forgiven for our sins. And so he's saying that even though they did this, God had predetermined that this was the means by which redemption would come, and they could have chosen not to do it, but they chose to do it. They chose to crucify Christ. Then, verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." Okay? So now they get down to the brass tacks and going to the Lord. "Lord, behold their threatenings." Today, we need to be taking the threatenings that we are given before the Lord, just as they did here. Today we're being threatened not to trust in God. We're being threatened to yield and capitulate to a state that wants to take away all of our freedoms, including really our freedom of worship the Lord in the manner in which we desire. And also they want to cause us to have to really do things that, if you begin to look at them, God doesn't ordain that we do. He doesn't want a one-world government. He doesn't want a one-world religion. He doesn't want a one-world economy. He doesn't want people to fear a virus to the point that they will modify their bodies genetically by taking a shot, and then not only one, but two, but three, but four, but five, by six, to come under the submission of this world government. And I was just listening to a report today. Roberta and I listened to our son-in-law was being interviewed as he was leaving his job out in Washington, D.C. But before that, they were giving a report on our grandson. And they were giving a report before they interviewed our grandson. And they were talking to him about what was happening with the truckers in America and how that over 50% of them are not going to take the shot, and they're going to quit their jobs before they'll take the shot. And that the government doesn't know what to do about that. And that it's not as, in Canada, it's only about 20 to 30% that are not taking the shot, but they're talking about that these truckers are going to walk away from their jobs before they take the shot. And that they view as it's a suppression of their rights, plus it's their own medical freedom being imposed upon, and plus many of these shots keeps being coming out that they don't do anything but harm to you, and they won't protect you from anything. And so what is the purpose of it except control? And more people need to do this, but they really need to call on the name of the Lord. And that's what they did. They said, we're not going to listen to these threatenings. We're not going to have our lives molded by threatenings of people that are standing against God. Now, if you look at people that are promoting this whole philosophy that's being perpetrated on the world, this reset philosophy, these men hate God. And they hate life. And they hate everything that God stands for. And so why should we yield to their threatenings? But instead, we need to be proclaiming the truth of God in the face of that. And we need to be sharing with people that they need to give their lives to the Lord. So we see here that they said that in verse 29, and now, the Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's what God's people need to be praying for. Boldness to speak God's word and to stand for truth, God's truth. And we see that if you're not standing for the truth of the Lord, you're standing in lies. And it says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And so they're saying, Lord, speak through us and do signs and wonders to draw people to show you that you are the one that has the power and the authority. You know, one of the things that I was hearing people talk about is that once you've taken this particular shots that they're giving, these RNA shots, mRNA shots, you can't undo them. And one of the speakers I was listening to, this lady said, but one thing you can do is pray to God, because God's got power and authority over everything. And pray for God's help. And that's who we need to call on, is to call on the Lord, that He would do miracles in healing some of these people who are suffering from the problems of these making choices that many of them didn't even know what they were doing, thinking they were doing the right thing, and that God would miraculously heal them, and that the people would begin to speak with boldness and speak the word of God with boldness, proclaiming the truth of God with boldness. That's what they were praying for. And why did they do that? Because these people were coming against the Lord, and they were coming in the name of the Lord. You see the spiritual battle here. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of the Lord with boldness. And so how were they doing that? In the power of God's Spirit. And how do we speak in the power of God's Spirit? By walking in obedience to the will and the purposes of God and doing His will and not yielding or capitulating to the spirit of the world and seeking to walk with the Lord. Now, what did this result in their life? Now, one of the things that was happening in the early church is that there was a lot of persecution, and a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people didn't have incomes. But there were some of the people that had incomes that owned land, as we see here, and God had given them things. And as the Lord made evident of the fact that there was brothers and sisters in need, those that had and were able to, God laid it on their heart to take and sell what they had and share with those that were in need because of the persecution that was coming on the church. And we see that one of the men that they speak of is Barnabas. Now, it's interesting. Barnabas is a Levite. The Levites were not to own land. And if you go back and look at the Old Testament, they weren't to own land. But Barnabas didn't own land in Israel. Barnabas owned land on an island in the middle of the Mediterranean. That's where his land was. And so, in essence, he had obeyed God in not owning land in Israel, but he owned land on this island. And what he did is he went and he sold that land, and he took the money and he brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And he laid it at the apostles' feet that it could be used to meet the needs of other Christians that had needs and the needs of the apostles as they went out to proclaim the gospel. And also you begin to see a transformation in the lives of these people. Barnabas, who had been a Levite, but hadn't been really living the life of a Levite, all of a sudden now he's committing his life to Christ, and everything that he has is God's. And we're going to see that Barnabas later on in the books of Acts will go with Paul on some of his missionary journeys, and then later on he'll go with his relative John Mark, and he'll take him and go, and Paul will go with Silas, and then you'll have two missionary groups going out. But Barnabas shows his faith and his trust in God, and that he realizes everything is God's that he has. And this is one of the things that we need to acknowledge, that everything that we possess is the Lord's, and we're merely stewards of it, and that we're to seek how God would have us use these things. I don't know if it's going to be true or not. I know that things could get very bad in the coming days ahead, especially if you don't have truckers to bring stuff around. They're talking about food shortages. They're talking about other shortages that could possibly come because of all these horrible mandates that are being forced on people. And it may be that Christians that have things need to be able to share with Christians that are in need. And we need to be open to God's leading us. And just as our fellowship here sent money to India to help them, when they were many of the people there were having problems with getting food, and we sent money to them to get food. We're not a big and wealthy church, but God laid it on our heart to do that, and the people here, you said do it, and so we did. And God will bless that, and He'll bless us for it, and we need to be open to being used by God to accomplish His purposes. And so we see here that this amazing difference that is portrayed between those who persecute the church and those who walk with Christ. Who has the power? From an earthly perspective, if you had somebody come in with flow charts and all these different things, they'd say, well, the priests in the Sanhedrin, they're the ones that have the power. They're the ones that were enabled to arrest Peter and John, and they're the ones that let them go, so they had the power. No, the real power belonged to the apostles who were walking in the power of God. Those men, even as David said in his psalm, They think they're something that they're not, but one day they will realize what they really are, and they have no power, they have no authority, and they stand before a holy and righteous God and must give account. Where those who walk in the power of His Spirit, even though the world would say, you don't have power, we have tremendous power, because we have, as Peter told the man who was impotent at the temple, silver and gold I have none, but I will give you what I do possess. Arise and walk in the name of Jesus. He had the power of God, and it was able to transform not only the man's physical condition, but more importantly, to transform the man's spiritual condition, and that he became a believer in Jesus, and his life was never the same. That is the power we possess. We possess eternal power, not the temporal power of those that think they have money and wealth and are raging against God, but will never win. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word. Help us to walk in your power and authority. Help us to have the prayers of the apostles and the disciples as they were meeting, and just rejoicing in seeing how you spoke through Peter, how your Spirit delivered them from underneath, out of being arrested, brought them back, and how they shared that you were greater than the priests and the Sanhedrin and all this worldly kingdoms that would rage against you. And Lord, help us to walk in your power and proclaim the truth of your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 368.